If you're in the mood to bake your own pie, you might want to consider making your own crust. Kate Lebo is a teacher and author of Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter. She says pie crust should not be intimidating. You need to make sure all your ingredients are cold. More important, though, Kate Lebo says pie baking should be a sensual experience.
What you taste, what you feel with your hands, what you see in the bowl, those exact proportions that we think are required of dough are what makes pie not as easy as we think it is, or we think it should be. It makes that a joke. Because flour is a hydrophilic substance.
What does that mean?
It means it loves water.
Okay.
Right? Like us. It's a lot like us in the Pacific Northwest. Loves water. So that means on a dry day, it's going to be drier. On a humid day, it's going to be wetter. And nobody goes to their barometer before they make pie to check exactly how much water they put in. So the method that I've devised, what works best for me and has worked really well for my students, is actually getting the exact amount of water that you need, which can change from day to day, bag to bag, by feeling it and looking at it rather than measuring. So ironically, we get the exact right amount of water by not measuring the water at all.
So essentially what you teach your students is start with a little bit of the water mm-hmm. and mix it and then look at it or touch it and then still too dry, add a little more.
You are always touching that dough. So you're using your hands instead of the pastry scraper, and you're definitely not using a food processor. I want you to save that food processor for slicing apples. Don't let it anywhere near your dough.
Putting your hands in that bowl and mixing stuff around.
Yes. Only as much as it needs, though.
Only.
I like to say that pie likes attention, not affection, right? So don't touch it too much.
I'm talking to Kate Lebo, and her book is called Pie School, Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter. And today, we're working on the flour, butter, and water part of it. We're talking about pie crusts. The other burning question is what type of fat, obviously. And there are many people who swear by Crisco. Mm-hmm. They say that's the flaky producer. It doesn't taste the same way a butter crust tastes. I have tended now to do half and half, mm-hmm. Half butter, half Crisco, and it's trying to find the sweet spot of crustdom, if you will. Does any kind of fat, as long as it's cold, any solid fat make a good crust?
I have most experience with Crisco, butter, and lard, and I've done the same thing, mixed Crisco and lard, because Crisco's reputation for being very flaky is spot on. Its reputation for being totally tasteless is also spot on, so you can end up making an all Crisco crust that tastes like dust, mm-hmm. even though it's really flaky. So butter adds that delicious, delicious flavor. My absolute favorite thing to use, though, is butter and leaf lard.
I don't know what leaf lard is.
Leaf lard is the fat that's gathered from around the kidneys of the pig. It's a lot more pure, you could say. It doesn't smell piggy. One of the ways you can tell if you should use the lard for baking is just to smell it. And if it smells piggy, use it for some other delicious, savory thing. Don't use it for your pie.
And you can use that straight, 100% leaf lard?
Oh, you could. You totally could. I tend to go half and half, half cup butter, half cup lard.
And for a fruit pie as well? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have an animal meat taste?
It does not.
If it doesn't smell that way, it doesn't taste that way.
If it's leaf lard, if it's been rendered, it does not smell that way.
The other thing, and I do this because there is a woman named Rose Levy Barenbaum who has written the Pie Bible, the Cake Bible, the Baking Bible.
All hail Rose.
Yeah. Oh, so you know Rose.
Yeah.
Rose.
Yeah.
And Rose said what she does, and now I do it because she said to do it, is I keep my fat source, and it's usually butter, frozen, and I pull out a box grater and I grate it right into the flour.
Yeah, you can frozen. Do that. That works. I'll also sometimes take frozen pie crust that I've forgotten from the freezer and do that on the box grater for a crumble. So that works. That's an example of a trick that mm-hmm. works well in pie, because then you've got that really cold fat. Her method differs from mine in that mine is all handmade.
Right.
And so I don't advise people to freeze their butter, because that'll hurt your hands when you're trying to rub it.
It hurts when you try to grate it too. But it does work, and it makes a very flaky pie crust. Now, you in the book you show, and I've tried this, you fold your dough in half after it's rolled to the right mm-hmm. Circumference, and then you fold it into a quarter, and you put the little point that it makes, because it's a little triangle fluty thing, right in the middle of your pie plate, and then gently unroll it. Mm-hmm. The question is, do you pre-bake before you put fruit filling into a crust?
I do not. You want to pre-bake pies where the filling needs only about a half hour, like a pumpkin pie or like a pecan pie. Fruit pies, they need that full hour to bake all the way through. So I never bake before I put the fruit filling in.
How do you keep it from getting mushy on the bottom?
Great question. So I've never had that problem.
And it's You've never had a mushy pie.
Why people have that problem. And I think what it is that if you, for example, leave your bottom crust in the plate out on the counter while you're preparing the rest, it gets warm. That will make a mushy bottom crust.
So put the bottom one back?
Back in the fridge. Absolutely. Back in the fridge. If you're not touching that dough at any stage and it's raw, keep it in the fridge.
Do you roll it out, put it in the pan, put the filling in, put it in the fridge?
No. Ah. That's the next thing that I think is happening is the filling should touch that bottom crust only right before you put the top crust on and the pie in the oven. Hmm. And that's it. That'll handle it. No fancy tricks at the bottom. No cornmeal. No like brushing it with egg white. Just time it just so.
And then, of course, the one other thing after you do, you've got that, you bring it back out cold, you put your apples or peaches or whatever, put those in, you put a top crust on, and you can't just have a flat top crust. You must make some sort of ventilation system.
Yes, you must. Otherwise, you get this kind of parachute shape, right? It billows up because the steam can't get out, and you're braising your fruit instead of baking it. So you cut giant slits in the top of your pie or make a lattice. That's what the lattice is for.
And it's also, this is an opportunity to be decorative with your dough, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. One of the things I love about pie is that all of its kind of decorative parts are also practical. So that decorative lattice top, for example, that's really for pies like blueberry pies, cherry pies, blackberry pies, really, really juicy pies that need a ton of ventilation. A pie like an apple pie, the lattice makes less sense. You'll actually dry out those apples. With an apple pie, you could put in a pie bird. You could just do big vents. I've run into families in Iowa in particular that have their own kind of family like pie crust that they put into the top of their pies. I'm totally jealous of
that. A signature crust?
Yeah, a signature, you know.
Wait, design. You don't have one yet?
No, I don't. I'm just waiting for that inspiration. I feel like it's like trying to decide on a tattoo or something. Maybe I'm overthinking it. Just do it.
It'll come to you in a dream. Okay, well, just a last word of advice for listeners who are perhaps now emboldened to try their own pie making. What's the one most important thing? Besides buy my book, what would be the most important thing?
Remember, it's just pie.
Sage words of advice from pie guru Kate Lebo. Her book is called Pie School: Lessons in Fruit, Flour, and Butter.